You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. In the studio with me is local author Jeff Howe. His first book is now available in stores. It's called Into the Roaring Fork, and he's here to talk about this action, adventure, mystery, crime novel. I'm not really sure. It's a lot of action, a lot of stuff happening in it. Jeff Howe, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So how do you qualify it? I mean, I was thinking about it. I mean, it's quite a thrilling ride into the Roaring Fork, and with your character, Alex. But how do you qualify it?
You know, I call it a thriller suspense. You know, but as you have pointed out, there's other aspects to it that, you know, it's hard to categorize it into one genre or to one type of specific, you know. So I like the way you just said it. I think that probably is right, you know.
Well, Roaring Fork is a river in Colorado outside of Aspen. It's all, I think I read somewhere, it's all of 70 miles long, but beautiful country out there. What is your experience in that neck of the woods?
Well, when I graduated from college in the mid-1980s, I moved out there with a girl I'd been dating my senior year. So that was my first really adventure into that area. I had a brother who lived out there previous to that, and I had visited. So I was exposed to the Aspen, the whole Colorado lifestyle, and I was like, I'd like to have this someday.
Yes.
And so the Roaring Fork Valley itself is about 50, 60, 70 miles long, starting with Aspen being at kind of like the top of it, and goes all the way down to the Colorado River where Glenwood Springs connects. So that whole area it's just gorgeous. There's some beautiful trout water in there, and the Roaring Fork River, of course, is the namesake that runs right through the middle of it.
Well, this is a story about a man on a mission, I guess you could say, hiking a trail with a backpack of cocaine, runs across a scene that he is not expecting, and that launches quite a thrilling chase. What was the kernel? I know when you emailed me the first time, you said this had been a story that was churning around in your brain for a while. Where did this come from, and what brought it out of your brain and into your pen and onto the paper?
Well, you know, again, having that experience of living in Aspen back when in the mid-1980s, I moved out there with my girlfriend at the time, and it was just a great experience. And, you know, so taking that and the year we spent out there and the skiing and the fun town and all of that, I've always kind of drawn back to that time in my life. It was sort of a coming of age period for me, in a sense that it was the first time I'd lived away from home. You know, you're out from under your parents' wings and anything goes, you know, so that has always stuck with me, that time of my life. And then about 17 years ago, I was with my wife on our honeymoon, and we're out in the Canadian Rockies in Banff. And we're driving to some lake, and she's in the passenger seat, and she's just glued to some story in a magazine that she'd picked up. And I'm curious. I'm like, you know, what are you reading? I mean, look at these mountains around us. I mean, you know. And she's just glued to it. And then so she finally, you know, kind of showed me what it was about. And I can't say too much about it because I don't want to spoil anything in the book for those who are reading it, and for the hopefully thousands more. Can I plug it?
Yes, you can.
That maybe one day we'll be reading it. So it just kind of, I read it and it stuck in my head for many, many years. And it kind of gave me an idea for a component of this story. So, you know, and then I've always wanted to write a book. I've always thought, hey, you know, I really want to do this someday. And I wanted to write something that would be engaging, you know, to readers and keep the pages turning. And I thought that would be a challenge to do or try and accomplish it. And, you know, and as I came up with the concept of narrating it using a fast-paced voice of a 20-something-year-old from the 80s, you know, and then here I am, 51, having to step back into that time, get back into those shoes, was, you know, to make it as authentic sounding as I could was really a challenge, too. So, I you know, kind of a combination of those things.
So just reaching back for your youth there, is that what you're doing,
Jeff? You know, absolutely.
Aren't we all?
What a great time of life that was, right? You know, mm-hmm. Back in those, you know, really post-college days, you know, so.
I'm speaking with Jeff Howe. His book is Into the Roaring Fork. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. It's a thriller set in the Roaring Fork area of Colorado. And yes, there's a crime in here that I kind of heard glimmers of, if you may, from the headlines I remember in the past. But it's kind of a rough ride at times. I mean, there's a lot of action that's happening. Where did your dark side come out, Jeff? You know, you have these criminals who are, well, unsavory, I guess would be easy way to qualify them.
Right, right.
Where did that dark side come from?
You know, I don't know, to be honest, where that dark side comes from. Obviously, you know, I've read books and seen movies that appeal to me with these characters that, you know, seem to be like, wow, you know, they just kind of grip you a little bit. But I don't really know exactly how I had, you know, these characters come out, because I always had sort of this beginning to the story, and I've always had sort of an end to this story. As I've always, you know, I said, I've always wanted to write this book. And so those components, as I explained earlier, I had this beginning and I had sort of an ending, but I had nothing in the body. And so as I was writing this, it would just start to come to me. And I was kind of going along for this ride too, because again, this is my first book. And that was a really fun thing for me to do, was to maybe make this guy even worse than I ever thought he would be, or to make this person, you know, maybe overcome a struggle here when I thought maybe he wouldn't. So it was fun for me from the standpoint of not exactly knowing what I had in my head, but as I began to do it, I kind of went with it.
Well, you're following in good footsteps. I interviewed Clive Cussler recently, and he was talking about, I always have a beginning and I always have an end, but that middle is rough. And it sounds like you're walking in nice footsteps there. But just like Clive, you follow along and see where the story takes you. And it does take some interesting turns. I mean, this is a page turner. It was, you know, I was very much engrossed as I was reading it. As you were writing it, you know, how much did you get out in the first effort, or how much did you have to go back and rewrite to hone down as you were writing your first novel?
Well, okay, so when I finished it, and again, you know, this took, you know, 10 months, I guess, to write the book. I thought I was done, you know, like anything. I'm like, I'm done, you know.
It's
yes,
there.
Yes, let's get a beer, you know, I'm done. But, you know, and so I gave it to my wife to read, and she read it, and, you know, and I'm like, okay, what do you do with it? Where do I go with it now? And she's like, well, you gotta give it to some friends. And we picked a couple of friends that we knew were very well read and would give us an honest feedback. And she and her husband read it, and they came back with, wow, we really like this. This was great. I couldn't put it down. And I thought, okay, now where do I go with it? And so had maybe 7 or 8 people read it, and I'm like getting good positive feedback, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have to rewrite anything. This is, you know, I can just send this out, right? But, you know, being a guy who's never written anything, or I don't know where to go, then you get online, you see, you go the route of literary agents, and you've got to write a query letter. And so I'm, again, a complete novice, and I'm sending out probably really bad query letters, and I'm getting rejection after rejection after rejection. But then I finally got a hit from an agent in New York City, and he was tremendously helpful to me. And I remember his email, it said, fascinating start, because I'd sent him like the first 15 pages, send me the entire manuscript on a Word document. So I sent it to him, and now it's just a waiting game. And he sent it back to me about a week later with a really detailed one-page kind of review of the book. And it's hard to kind of take criticism, but, you know, I realized that what he was saying was correct. The story maybe had gotten too sprawling. Mm-hmm. He had suggested I cut some things out to maybe, you know, concentrate again on the main characters. And I thought, well, how am I going to do this? Because I don't really want to spend another 8 months, 10 months revising this. But I kind of came up with a way to do it within a month. And so I, you know, made some changes, delete and add, cut and paste here to there, and made the changes. And I thought, wow, that really makes the book better. He was right. And so then I sent it out to more friends, and just to get a general, you know, view of the book. And it was really coming back as favorable. So I luckily didn't have to do too much in the rewriting, because I didn't want to. I was done.
This, as we've mentioned, is your first novel, and one you've always wanted to write. I know there are lots of people who have the great American novel in them or feel they do. A lot of people don't take that action to sit down and write. What advice would you give to somebody who has something rattling around in their skull and wants to get it on paper and hopefully published?
Yes. My best advice would be to say, to do it, to sit down and do it, because you can get distracted with so many things. I mean, we all have jobs. You know, I've got two kids. You know, you're always, you know, you're running from one sporting event to the other. You've got to fix the house. You've got just a million things that you've got to do. But you have to come up with a kind of disciplined approach to say, okay, I'm going to do this no matter what time is available during the day. I'm going to give myself 1 hour. And that might be after you put the kids to bed and it's 10 o'clock and you might be tired and you're like, man, I just really want to crash. But you write, you know, you just write. And for me, what I did was I made sure I wrote 5 days a week, an hour a day, and I would try to get a page done. There's no days off for holidays or vacations. This was the routine.
Right.
So I just kind of had this routine to stick with it because, again, being a first-time writer, I didn't know if I had the stamina to do it, to really take this thing out. And it's funny because when I got done with the book and I gave it to my wife to read, and the book was about 150 manuscript pages, so 150 word, you know, document pages. And she read the book and she goes, I think it's too short. And I'm like, oh, that's the last thing I wanted to hear, because, I didn't want to cut it short. I wanted to, right, to say I did it, and I did it, you know, all the way. It's a full novel, you know. And I thought, wow, is it really short? And so then when I went back to the Word document and looked at it again, I had an IT guy show me that, well, if you look down at the bottom here, it shows you the number of words that you've typed. And it was 86,000 words. And so I Googled, what's the average novel length? You know, and it said between 70 to 90,000 words. I remember I went home to my wife again. I'm like, you're totally wrong. It's right in the middle.
You know? Honey, you're wrong.
Yes, it's right in the middle. So I knew I had completed at least a decent length, you know, story. And so, again, getting back to your question, it's discipline to do it. It really is. It's you got to do it. And don't say, oh, I'm going to take a week or two off. Because when you start doing that, then you'll start taking days off and you start taking other, you know, it just never gets done. Yeah. It never gets done, yeah.
Well, you had a launch party at Joseph Beth a while back, and you were telling me before we went on the air that you also have the book in bookstores in Colorado. What has been the reaction to it? I mean, you talk about the reaction of some of your friends who liked it and yeah, couldn't put it down, but
right.
What has been the reaction since?
Yeah, it's getting good reviews out west, too, out in the Colorado stores. And people are, you know, I'm getting calls now from other bookstores, too, say, hey, we heard your book is over at so-and-so bookstore in Crested Butte, and, you know, we want to pick it up here in Steamboat, or it's in Aspen. And so that is really great to have it right there in the Aspen bookstore, and the Aspen Times is going to be doing a feature on it. So that will be neat to see and hopefully generate some buzz there too. So, and I think a lot of this book too, we're kind of gearing towards, since the book takes place in the summer in the Rockies, that they want to more promote it too is being in that time frame. So that will be, you know, hopefully I'll be out there this spring or later spring and early summer to do some signings and get around to some of those stores and maybe do a little fly fishing while I'm out there too. So.
Well, I was going to ask you just before we go about your depiction of the wilderness out there as he's hiking through the woods and yeah, crossing creeks and the like. Did you spend a lot of time out in the woods when you were living out in Aspen, or did you have to go out and, you know, do some research, quote unquote?
No, there was very little research that needed to be done, although I did have to track down a ranger from the White River National Forest to get some accuracy in something that I was writing. But I've spent tons of time, you know, hiking, you know, out there, hiking all across the Rocky Mountains. I'm a huge fly fisherman. And so every chance I get, we go out there. I take the family out there in the summertime, and we go skiing out there in the wintertime. We love the Rockies. So I know the area very well. I know, you know, the nuances of the settings, and so that to me was easy, and it was very fun to write because I'm there. It puts me in it, you know,
right.
And I'm just like, wow, I'd like to be there now, you know.
Well, you can feel the love of that outdoors and your book, Into the Roaring Fork. But a beautiful book. Thank you very much for stopping by today.
Thank you, Mark.
Jeff Howe, his thriller is called Into the Roaring Fork. It's his first novel. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.
Keep in touch with the book club at 91.7 on the web, through Facebook, email, and the WVXU.org website. On the WVXU Facebook page, just click on the book club tab for up-to-date book happenings and show info. Ask a question or comment on what you've heard on the book club at 91.7 by emailing book@wvxu.org. And visit WVXU's website for more information about the books and authors you hear about on the program, and to listen to podcasts of the show. Bibliomaniacs, unite! The Book Club at 91.7, on the air Saturday mornings, and on the web all the time, on Facebook, on email, book@wvxu.org, and at wvxu.org.
Been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Bruce Ellis is the technical director. Kevin Reynolds is the producer. Music director and segment engineer, Rick Andres. Web guru is Jim Nolan. And Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. And I'm Mark Purcell. I hope you'll be here next Saturday when I talk to William Albrecht about his experiences in the Vietnam War and his book, Abandoned in Hell, The Fight for Vietnam's Firebase Kate. And Danny Gregory sharing a zillion ways to be more creative no matter how busy you are, and his book, Art Before Breakfast. Those books and more next Saturday for the Book Club at 91.7. Stay tuned for Weekend Edition next on 91.7 WVXU.